Born and raised in the former French colony of Senegal, Samba Gajigo listened intently to the stories of African culture from his grandmother. He says as a child, those stories shaped him and the way he saw the world. Then, when he went to school, Gajigo said the French textbooks projected a completely different image that was so powerful that he felt a progressive alienation overtake him. Then in high school, Gajigo discovered God's Bits of Wood, a novel about colonialism in Senegal by writer and filmmaker Ousmane Sembène.
Which for the first time awakened me to the power of representation and the power of storytelling. Because here was Sembène creating counter images, showing me black people and white people in a different light. That made me become not only very aware of the issue of race, but also the issue of class. And in the midst of all the media which shower us now with one-sided story, I thought Sembène's activism, his desire to use images to give them a sense of responsibility, also to empower them, was something very, very powerful. The way his book changed my life, I thought I could also make a documentary and try, albeit in a small way, to also inspire people and also to change their lives. That's the main motivation behind making the documentary.
Let me tell you the story of the father of African cinema, who used his camera as a weapon and gave us our stories back.
Sembène was really the first film director from Africa that actually achieved international recognition as a film director and also as a novelist. How did the world react to his approach relating African stories from an African sensibility?
Well, certainly judging from the reception some of his works met in the establishment, he made about 12 feature films, three of which were either censored or banned. So which meant that the establishment did not see his take on things as being conform to the ideas, the ideals, and the images they wanted to protect of themselves. So the reception was rather a frontal confrontation with the powers to be. But although also he had a limited audience in Africa because of the control of distribution channels by Western distributors, wherever his films were seen, they also had a real impact. And they continue to have. He started making films in 1962. And I just came back from a festival in Egypt 3 days ago. I mean, whatever their youth, whatever their gender, I think there is still an indebtedness to Sembène. So in that sense, his message has been limited, certainly, but it has had an impact wherever it was able to reach people, not only in Africa, but throughout the world.
Samba, can you tell us about the odds that Sembène had to surmount in order to achieve success?
Well, first, he was animated with a strong, unbreakable faith in the African people and in the imminence of liberation. And he was also convinced that there cannot be political liberation, there cannot be cultural liberation without economic and political liberation. So, convinced of that, he saw himself as someone who also should do his share in that liberation of Africa, and he thought art and culture were the best way to do it. He studied at a time when there was no film industry, there were no film schools, there is no equipment, there was no money. And he used people in the streets to make. He made all his films, until he died actually, he made his films on a shoestring. So it took a lot of sacrifice, a lot of ingenuity, a lot of inventiveness, a lot of improvisation. And fortunately, actually, and ironically, it is that lack of resources that made his films very compelling and very poignant because they were based on reality.
Can you describe how Sembène's work as a novelist informed his filmmaking?
There is a direct correlation between his writing and his filmmaking. If you look at his bibliography, for instance, I would say three of his major films are directly is a direct adaptation of his own books or inspired by his own books. So there is some kind, and at, in some occasions also, he first made a film and then transformed the film into a novel. So there is some kind of cross-fertilization between his writing and his filmmaking.
He told African stories that were not being told in the media anywhere at this time. He was essentially alone in trying to do this. Is he still revered in Africa, in Senegal, and other African countries as someone who could speak for the African people? Are there others that have been following in his footsteps?
Oh, there are a lot following. There is a whole generation, I mean, young and old, who are following in his footsteps, but certainly the situation, the circumstances in Africa have changed a lot. But what has not changed is the use, is the fact that an artist should remain very close to the people. And whatever they do it as a comedy, whether they make experimental films, whether they put they make drama, I mean, always, whatever African film you look at the core, there is a serious social, economic, and political issue they are dealing with. In that sense, the quote-unquote realism of Sembène cinema is always at the core of all those filmmakers, whether they, in light of the technological changes, in light of more knowledge of Western filmmaking, that's still there. But at the core, whether they are young, whether they are women, whether they are old, I think there is always a dialogue between Sembène's work and other works.
Samba, do you feel that Sembène's legacy is being held intact, that he is being remembered well?
Yeah, for instance, to answer that question, for instance, today, if you were to go to Burkina Faso in Ouagadougou, which is the one of the biggest film festivals in sub-Saharan Africa, after Sembène died, they erected a monument of him at the public square in the middle of downtown. They named after him one of the biggest avenues in Ouagadougou. And since his passing about 10 years ago, there is no one single week when I don't receive an email requesting a screening of his work or paying tribute to him. Of course, yeah, which that is also something that is normal. He is contested by a new generation of film of filmmakers, but whether he's revered or he's contested, he's always there. So his legacy is alive. It could be more alive, again, as I said, if Africans controlled the channels of distribution. Unfortunately, today, if you were to go to Dakar in Senegal, if you were to go to Abidjan in Cote d'Ivoire, or you go to Cairo in Egypt, you see more Western movies than you do African movies. That's, I think, reflective of the power relationship between the Hollywood machine, film machine, and the Western film machine. But there is a progress. I met a lot of young people. There is a colleague who teaches at Harvard University, an Ethiopian, who gave a film class to young aspiring filmmakers. So there is a really desire to continue making images that are reflective of the African condition, despite all the financial and all the technological limitations. Actually, a footnote here, since the digital revolution, I think Africans have had more access to the tools of filmmaking. So that is going on, but the struggle still goes on, because as many critics concur, despite all those efforts, our screens are still colonized by images that come from Hollywood and the Western media.
That's Samba Gajigo, who, along with Jason Silverman, has produced the documentary Sembène, which has achieved a good deal of success at film festivals around the world, from Sundance to Cannes. There's a screening of Sembène tomorrow at 4 p.m. as part of the Ousmane Sembène Film Festival in Illinois Wesleyan University's Beekman Auditorium. I'm Laura Kennedy.